Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and wherever you are in the world, I know it's got to be whatever hour, 03, on your clock. Today is 3/11/2023, March the 11th, 2023, and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on this network, which is known as Ball Talk Radio. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you. We do have a great show lined up. We have some topics we're going to get to in the first hour, or should I say the first 45 minutes, because we got some great music, we got some great conversation, and we do have an awesome special guest coming up at 6:45, okay? Wow. It's been an interesting week for me. How's your week been for you? You can chime in and let us know, okay? But we're going to, you know, get into our first hour of the show. I'm going to open up the mic to the lady of the house. I see she's here, the one and only, Miss Janet Hawkins.
Happy Saturday. Hey, it sounds like I'm getting ready to do a fight.
You know, you got to do that part. That you got to keep it going. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, happy Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah, it's been an interesting week for me. How about yourself? You've had an interesting week?
Well, I got a crook neck I can't get rid of.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing heat on it. I'm going to try. I don't know. That's what I guess all this comes with age. So I don't
right,
know.
Right. You know, and you know, and it amazes me, right, where people, you know, that are younger, and you try to talk to them and be like, hey, look, when you get to my age, and they'd be like, oh, that's that old folk talk. But it'd be like, no, wait a minute. I was your age at one time, too. Trust and believe what I'm telling you. You haven't even got to the crest of when you get older. And all due respect, young folks are going to think the way we thought, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, I thought that 60 was old when I was 16. But it really isn't. It all depends on how you carry yourself and take care of yourself.
That's right.
You see, when you and I were growing up, we didn't have all these different things, you know, that they offer now. But not saying taking certain drugs, but like just, you know, vitamins, exercise. We didn't have all that. Well, I'll take that back. We did have exercise. We had what they call the playground. That was exercise
right.
for us. Okay. We had sports. We got involved in all that. But now sport for young kids is who could beat who on the PlayStation. That's a sport.
Right.
You know? It's a sport
Correct.
Where, you know, I mean, when you have TV shows of where you're sitting here and battling with robotic things, that's a sport. It has nothing to do with physical. Just that who can outmaneuver the other one. Am I right or wrong? So that's
no, you're right. We in the world of AI, you know, artificial intelligence. It wasn't like that then.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't even have
yeah.
a cell phone. We had dial, not even push button when I was coming up. We had, like, our phone numbers were like Baker 51028. It wasn't what it is now, 10 numbers in Georgia.
If you were to call,
you can't call anybody
from,
in Georgia unless you do 10, the area code.
Well, here's the thing. If you were to call from Cobb County to Fulton County, that was a toll call. Not long distance.
Yeah, but not
toll.
Anymore. Right.
No, I said, I'm not, that's what I said. Back then, it was
mm-hmm.
a toll call. And a toll call, you had to pay for that from one county
yeah,
to the
mm-hmm.
other. From California, from here to California was long distance. You had to pay for that. But now,
right.
you don't have to do it. And that's the thing is that where there's a lot of people who don't, younger folks, and I'm not trying to pick on you all, but you have to realize that you're living in an age of comfort because you still have to pay for long distance and toll calls. Your ass will get up every morning and go to work.
Look, when
and
internet
pay
came
that
out,
phone bill.
When internet came out, I started calling through the internet to keep from making a long distance call because you didn't
exactly.
want no expensive bill. I had a son one time talking to his little girlfriend in California, $650-something. one bill for long distance.
And that was probably a phone call that was or those phone calls were probably within 1 week or two. It wasn't
yeah.
a whole month because
no,
it depends on how long you were on the line. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but you know, it goes to show where yes, times do change, but still, and again, people don't understand the effect that it has on our thought process. Hey, look, technology is here to use in a positive way, right? Allegedly, in a positive way, technology is supposed to make it better and easier to do what you do.
That's right.
But unfortunately, there are some drawbacks, and unfortunately, there are some negatives about technology. You know, I was just thinking the other day, to be honest, Janet, I was like, wow, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that each and every phone, and think of how many phones are out here, has just one direct line. Think about that. Now, I know from time to time lines can cross up. That would happen with just regular line lands, okay? But I found it so amazing is that where most people don't have line lands anymore.
Landlines.
I am shocked. No, I am shocked when somebody comes into my store and says, hey, where can I get a phone? And I say, oh, over there. They say, no, I don't want a cell phone. I want a regular landline. I'm like, oh, you talking about the cordless phone that you plug into the wall? Like, hold on for a minute. No, but hold on a minute. Hold on a minute because another one of our co-hosts is here. But I just want to say this. It blows me away when folks say, no, I just want to get a phone. Yes, the cordless ones that you plug into the wall. Once they say plug into the wall, I'm like, oh, a home phone. I said, yes. I'm like, oh, we got them over there. That surprises me that people still want to have a landline. Now, for their reason, I don't know. It might be because they might have a business and they might want to, you know, if they have to do certain things in their business where they need a landline, okay, instead of having it on the internet. But that's interesting that where landlines are still selling, people still buy them. Okay. Do you still have a landline?
Yes. The good thing now is Magic Jack, for instance, $55 for a whole year. You just pay a one-time $55. You got long distance. You got local. Just for $55, it's not tied into AT&T or anything. It goes through your
right.
modem. And I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. It still has to go through a computer system. Which
no,
that's
no,
cool
no. The modem, not even a computer, just as long as you got a modem. Internet.
Well,
you don't
what
have
I'm
to
saying,
have a computer.
Internet, well, still, I'm sorry. What I meant was this. You still have to have internet service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it still goes through whatever internet service or provider you have. You still have
right,
to have
but
one. See, it's not
but AT&T
right.
want to charge like $89 and stuff like that for a phone
okay.
when you can do $55 for a whole year. I mean, hey, save.
Okay. That makes sense. Let me open up, well, I already did, open up the mic to another co-host, and I truly appreciate this brother. He's on the West Coast, author, comedian. He's doing a lot of stuff. Trust me, you guys. He's doing a lot of stuff. We talk offline or off air, and I really love what he's sharing with us. It is the one and only Timon. Mike, watch what you're saying. Mike, watch you're saying. Shit.
How do, Mike? Dennis, how are you? Who else on the line
with
us?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just washed my body, so I feel good. You know, when they say when you wash your body, you're going to be all right.
That's what they tell you, right? Well, you
right.
do feel
now, Mike,
better.
Now, Mike, yeah. I will say the reason why people buy landlines, the reason why they ask, because when they in case of a storm or problem,
that's
landlines cool. work better than cell phones.
That's right.
Because if a cell phone
okay.
tower goes out, the landline will work. So they want people to actually have landlines in their home because they do work. If you know, if you you miss out. If you got something that happens to you and, you know, you can't get through, they would rather you have a landline. That's why they do that.
Okay, so with that being said, because you made me think about something, we know that, you know, over for decades, for years and years, everything has been above ground, but now you have fiber optic cables, right? Okay.
Right.
So certain companies use underground line. In fact, many of them are starting to use underground communication lines. Am I right? Because if there's a storm, as you just said, if there's a storm, if there's, you know, a tornado, whatever the case may be, a hurricane, those cables underneath the ground are going to survive more so than what's above ground. So if I were to say, okay, I want a landline, you're saying I should really try to get with a company that offers fiber optic cable, which is underground. I'm saying, based on what he said, he just said that, you know, it's due to the fact that where the towers, am I right?
Yeah, well,
towers.
You have, if there's an emergency and you tear mm-hmm. out phone lines, usually, especially people who live in rural areas, you know,
mm-hmm.
that may not, you know, that could really, that wireless connection can get, you know, messed up or whatever, they want people to have landlines. They always have. It's good to have them.
Okay. But, okay, right. All right, so, the landlines, which is no connection. Now, if you live in an area that does, that still has telephone poles, right, that's still, so you're saying that where that the towers, okay, it's a wireless connection with the tower. I get that. When it comes to telephone poles, they will survive a storm more so than a tower that has wire, you know. But let's say, that has a wireless connection. But let's say there's a company that has fiber optics. Fiber optics, as you well know, I think you guys know, pretty much are done underground, right? Wouldn't that be better option? Wouldn't that be something that companies would, you know, tell folks, hey, look, to protect that you have a connection, the fiber optics, the underground stuff that we do during a storm would probably be better as a service. You understand my point? I would think so, because if there's a storm, it's not going to be windy underneath the ground. Does that make sense to you guys at all? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm saying, does that make sense? If I were to, let's say, for instance, AT&T says, hey, look, we're offering fiber optics. And all of them offer all kinds of stuff, right? But let's say if you said, okay, fine, let's deal with that. Based on what you two just said, and I agree with what Thomas said of where, yeah, you know, when you're dealing with these towers and everything, it's different than a regular phone line. But wouldn't fiber optics underneath the ground, other than something that's exposed within the air, within a storm, wouldn't that be better?
My phone goes through the modem, which is wired. And so, and that's probably underground, but.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
But it's not a phone that's going to go out if it's a storm.
Okay.
Now, if one of the generators or whatever blow, it might go out for a few minutes, but they usually stay on. I have, for 2 years, I've had this phone and didn't have a problem at all. Never.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had more issues with landlines because you might get static or, you know, I've had problems with landlines. Especially when you go and not be with AT&T or Bell South and you go somewhere else and they paying for the lines, they make you miserable so that you come back to them. You have poor service.
Well, that, I mean,
I'm not trying to debate anything. I'm just trying to ask questions of where, you know, because what Tina said, I was like, well, you know, that's interesting. But then again, I have to look at where, but here's what services offer you, okay? And let's not forget the fact that, you know, they bait people into coming to their service. Hey, we're going to give you free this, that, and the other for 12 months, a whole year. 12 months goes by really fast. It really does. And all of a sudden, you got to pay the regular rate, which is astronomical in some cases for some folks. They'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that's what my bill would be after the 12 months.
You know,
or
like,
I knew that it was going to be whatever, you know, the dollar amount. But then when you add on the taxes and everything else that they charge, and not just the company taxes, but also, you know, the state or the local government, you know, that charges, you know, and you guys have to understand, and I'm speaking out to everybody else, when you're dealing with certain places, not saying that it happens in your state, but here in where I live, oh, wow, you're paying internet and your cable services. That's a fact. I don't understand why, but they charging you. Go ahead, Janet. You're about to say.
That's okay.
Okay, so let's go to the other topic, because all I'm saying is that where, you know, because I see that's going on and no one's questioning it. I guess I'm the only one that's boo the pool here, because I'm like, this makes no sense.
Well,
it's been going on for a while.
I'll say one thing, Michael. AT&T, one thing to say. They got a little plan out that they claim they're only charging you like $35 if you have this special ACP or something plan. I forgot exactly what the initials are, but I'll look it up. Well, anyway, I said, oh, that sounds good. Send me the paperwork. Well, those nannies switched me over and gave me a bill of $150-something. I said, what happened to the $35? Why would I leave Straight Talk for $45 and now you charge me $150-something? That was crazy. I made them give me my money back. I mean, give me credit.
Mm-hmm.
I was still using Straight Talk, you know, so you got to be, it's like buyer beware. You have to be very careful for their little opinion.
And honestly, that's all I'm saying. And when I say this on this show, I mean, I'm like, have you seen what they're doing? Are you paying attention to it? And I'm sure some of y'all see it. But, you know, I mean, some folks don't. But to me, I mean, I think it's BS when companies, major corporations, sit up here and try to drag you in to sign up with their company, with whatever they have to offer. Oh, 12 months for free. But you have to sign a contract saying that where, yes, I will sign up with you for 12 months for free, but I am promising that I will sign up with you after the fact of the free service, right? That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay attention to it. That's how come I don't use none of them. And now what they say is that you're in breach of contract. They say you're in breach of contract. Because if you and that's the only thing I'm saying is this, is that are we looking at, you know, what is really going on? If AT&T, if Comcast and everything, and it made me think about something. When I used to be a customer for Comcast, which changed names to Xfinity. Now, watch this. They changed their name, just like Facebook changed their name to Meta for a reason.
They did it for a reason because there was lawsuits. There's a lot of stuff and everything. But, you know, your government is going to protect who's paying them to not allow you, the public, take their money. Think about it. Change your name. Different owner. Different company. But I'm going to go back to what I just said. What really bothered me was this, is that where, you know, you see where companies are saying, hey, look, sign up for this, phone companies, internet companies, everything. As I said, you know, you could pick and choose, but why are they doing this in the sense of where for the person who's been a customer for 10, 12, 13 years, maybe more, they don't give them the break. They give the break to the person they're trying to get to join the company free.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Okay, I'm just asking the question, and I'm trying to say, are you not seeing, are we not seeing the whole plan? I know folks who say, oh, I can get this for free for 12 months. I'm like, did they tell you what you're going to pay after that 12 months? Oh, yeah, just a regular plan. And so in that year's time, whatever the plan is at this moment in time, yeah, they're telling you that's what's going to be. But after 12 months goes by, there's going to be some changes. And you're going to have to apply to those changes because you agreed to it. You never understood that the fact that where you signed off and said, but, and if you read the small print, any adjustments within the company, any adjustments of this, that, and the other, you know, and it's all there, does not adhere to what you're reading right now, basically is what's going to happen. And then the thing is that where what they tell you is this, oh, you can stop, you know, your service anytime you want. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, well, why do you want to stop your service? What's the reason? Did we do something wrong? They do that shit. Simon had dropped, and he's back, and I got his mic open. Simon, are you aware of that stuff? I'm pretty sure you are. Am I right?
Aware of what AT&T is doing?
No, I'm just saying just many companies do this. Okay, with this, and I'm sure AT&T, and in fact, I do believe that even Xfinity has the same practice of where when they get you in there, hey, new individuals, hey, we're going to give you free this or just this amount, you know, for 12 months. But then after that 12 months is up, if you did not read the small print, without any warning, they can bill you. Let's say they tell you $35 a month. $35 a month.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. Which for everybody else who's been there for years, it's been $65 a month, right? New individuals, mm-hmm. $35 a month. So everybody's jumping on board like, okay, yeah. But you're not thinking about the fact that, you know what, that 12 months goes by real fast. And you're not looking at that, where you're not paying attention to it. You're not budgeting. You're not looking at the dates and everything. And all of a sudden you get a bill from them for that $65 a month.
Right.
Now you're mad because, oh, wait a minute. You didn't give me no warning of that. They don't have to. They already told you the date. They said you can cancel anytime you want, not when they want. They don't have to tell you when you owe them money. They tell you you can cancel anytime you want to. Right?
Right.
So isn't that something like a bait and hook? That's the only term I can come up with, but because folks are not thinking that far in advance. What's your problem?
Well, they also don't remember to the date that they started their count.
That's exactly what I said. Mm-hmm.
You can cancel when you want. You just have to remember when you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when did you mm-hmm. when did you sign up, and when did you cancel?
Exactly.
And some people don't. I just signed up for a newspaper about a month ago. It was $1 a week, and I forgot that
mm-hmm.
I signed up for it. You know,
they hope that you do. They hope that you do, and that's why it's planned that way. I mean, I love for us to talk about that more in the future, but you know that's bait and hook, and it's amazing because they put it that far out because they know you don't have a sense of memory to know that you made an agreement with them. You're not going to remember that shit. You're going to excuse my language, but you know I normally don't cuss on the show, but I mean everybody's allowed to use cuss words, just don't cuss each other. But they know this. Hell, I've experienced it where I'm like, wait a minute, did I really do that? And I have to go back and look and be like, damn, I did. I forgot. It was planned for you to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that it would be great for us to discuss again, you know, but yeah. That's amazing that they really got it down pat, because people feel like, oh, wow, that's a great deal. Yeah, I'll take it. And then you forget about it. You're enjoying the package, but you forgot.
Michael,
there's an
invitation. I put the date in my phone calendar so that when
okay.
and with a reminder so that I don't
okay.
miss the date.
Okay. You're probably one of 1,000 folks who don't do that. Okay, I'm just being honest. You're probably one of 1,000 folks who don't do it or more. Okay? You probably are. But a lot of folks don't think that way and don't realize that, you know, and don't read it because it's going to say, on almost anything that you do, it's going to ask you, you know, to read the policy. Read the policy. And many of us, and then you have to hit agree or disagree. And many of us don't hit disagree. You know, we love the offer. You're like, oh, I agree. Boom. But you didn't read the policy. And that's where they got you. Because they got lawyers who write this crap out, right? And they got you. Now, you can go ahead and say, oh, yeah, I didn't see that. You know, ignorance is no excuse. This is basically a contract. Once you hit agree, you're in agreement. It's a contract. You can fight it all you want, and they'll let you go at some point. They'll let you go. As long as you pay a certain amount. Or they'll make they'll sit back and say, hey, look, let's make a deal. Just pay the half of the month that you owe us. And, you know, it's over with. So they're still taking you. Now, I have to ask you guys, do you agree with what I just said or not? Because I know folks who've dealt with this stuff because they got duped. They got to do.
Well, I said that.
They have to stop this.
But like I said, I put the calendar, and I'm quite sure other people do too. Anything you don't want to forget, if you like appointments and stuff, you use your phone calendar.
You are very few. I'm just saying, you are definitely very few. I know a lot of people who don't, And I'm like, because they come to me and be like, you know, Mike, I can't believe this. I'm like, well, what happened? They tell me, I'm like, well, did you read? Did you follow up? You followed up. You said, okay, I want this service. But, you know, when they said, hey, look, you can cancel it at any time within a certain time, right? Whether it be 30 days, it's a trial type thing, right? A lot of them say 30-day trial. Some say 60-day trial. But not everybody keeps up with it like you do. And now the company thinks that you are in agreement because you didn't make the cancellation during that trial. And people all of a sudden see where if it was free for 30 days, they tell you, after 30 days, you will be charged whatever dollar amount that package was after 30 days. But if you did not cancel it, you know what happens. All of a sudden, you look and be like, wait a minute, $55 for what?
No, more than that sometimes, like I said, AT&T, yeah, exactly. $150-something.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 weeks after I told them okay and wanted it for a certain day, they sent me a bill 2 weeks later, and I was like, you crazy. Cancel.
Right.
I'm still using the other service.
I want us to go back to this topic next week because we're getting really close. I didn't get to this topic last week, and I'm sorry to cut us off on that one, but we'll get back to that again. And then, you know, you guys do the research on it. You know, I've been a victim years ago, and I'm like, no, I will never do a free trial in my life. If I want it, I'll pay for it. If I don't, I won't get it. But what I want to do is this, before our guest joins us, I want to look at this whole Tucker Carlson situation where he was given how many hours of video of January the 6th?
I think it was like 40,000.
Of hours?
Well, way more than what, I think it was around 40,000.
Yeah, 40,000.
40,000 hours of video. Now, let's back up here. And anybody who's a friend of Fox that's listening to us, let's understand something here. Tucker Carlson is not a journalist. Okay? He's not. He never went to school for it. Tucker Carlson is married to one of the heirs of Swanson TV Dinners. Am I right? So it's not like he's hungry for money. Or he's doing this because this type of propaganda is, you know, where he's getting a paycheck for telling the truth. He don't care. If Fox fired him tomorrow, it wouldn't matter to him. The man got money. His family has money. Swanson TV, Dennis has been around for ages. But he's not. He never went to school to be a journalist. Oh, by the way, there's another one on Fox who's not an educated or went to, you know, school to be a journalist. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But why would McCarthy give that information to a non-journalist? What's your thought?
He made a deal. He sold his soul to the devil when he wanted to be Speaker of the House. And that was one of the deals with Marjorie Taylor Greene wanting to give Fox News, Tucker Carlson, the videos because she said what they were doing with the January 6th commission was not true.
Tommy, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it, Mike, it doesn't, I mean, we, when I say we, you and I, Janet, we get it. But there, I'm telling you, man, you can't sell these people. Trump did a hell of a job of selling these people on all this disinformation and whatnot. I mean, I don't know if you've ever talked to someone. It does not matter that they found out that Tucker Carlson and those guys lied. It doesn't matter that they have, that they just, no, they don't believe, and they will not. Why do you think Trump is still relevant? They think he is the savior, and they believe whether they take Ron DeSantis or not, they want homeboy there. And yes, I mean, the facts are there. I just got off the phone this morning with a dude I work with, Hispanic cat. I didn't know he was a Trumpster. He's getting a divorce because him and his wife, she's a progressive and he's a Trumpster, and they're not getting along, you know, and they had to cut ties because, you know, he believes some of that bullshit. I didn't argue with him. You know, I listened to what he had to say, but I said, bruh, where's your evidence? I mean, they just shut you everything and you still don't believe them. And that's all we have to do is just give you, just show a little bit of disinformation. Fascism is created through the lies and through fear. And that's what they're selling you because they think, oh, we can't win. They can't win. I mean, when Trump said that, hey, if I don't win, it's rigged. He started that 6 months before that all that stuff went down. And before he lost, and look what happened.
Let me ask you this. I have to ask this. Is that where? So with that happening, okay? Which yes, that's documented. That's a fact. But okay, I mean, and for anyone who is a Trump supporter that's listening, that's a fact. And I'm sorry, I did not open up the chat room. I have to open up the chat room. I'm sure there's probably folks who might be there. I was running late. But anyway, but that being a fact, Donald Trump made that comment. And what's going on now? McCarthy, Jenna, I think you told me that Marjorie Taylor Greene is now guest speaker.
Well, they
I'm
had
sorry.
Her speaker for, yeah, they had her the Speaker of the House for a day. What, I'm like, what's next? Plus, on top of that, Michael, she changed her mind about Tucker Carlson getting the footage, the videos from the January 6th commission and the Capitol Police, because now she says that our ally, not the allies, but the people like from Russia and different places can find where the secret tunnels and things are. By Tucker Carlson putting, you know, that's crazy. You for all this time, for almost 2 years, you were complaining. Now you want to switch the script. You put the script.
Well, now, Rich, that's what I wanted to also say is that where here is an individual who is not, again, a true journalist. You know, Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, a handful of others. The ones who went to Iraq or Iraq, however you want to pronounce it, I call them true journalists because they risk their lives, right? CNN, okay, and I know some folks don't like CNN, but they were the first network, okay? They were the first network that gave you cable news network. And you call them whatever you want to. You could say they're liberal, this and the other. But that was the first 24-hour cable news network. You know, you could say they're liberal and all that stuff. But those journalists risked their lives to show you what the hell was going on during that war and many wars. Here comes Fox. Here comes MSNBC, here comes OLN, here comes a bunch of other cable news networks. All of a sudden we have so many cable news networks that will show you what's going on, but then they will flip the script.
You can't flip the script on war. But it's easy to flip the script on politics, right?
Well, that's because, Mike,
it's easy to flip the script on politics.
Yeah, I mean, but they Mike, all they're doing is selling fear. This is that's why, I mean, that's why if you look at when DeSantis spoke, the reason why people, and I said this today on another podcast, you don't want to discuss history because it opens up Pandora's box to other things. You can't get away from it. If you start at 1800s, if you start at 1877, if you want to start anywhere you want to go, it opens the door to so many egregious things that happened in the United States that were government done, but also done by white folks and anybody else. It will open doors. And this stuff of selling fear to these people that's saying that somebody took something from you. I mean, everything with them is about the gays, transsexual. Oh, they're trying to teach our kids to become gay and blah, blah, blah. No, they're not. I mean, and everything, you know, you can't make these kids. And then they're always in other people's business. You know, dude, say, hey, man, Todd, what do you think about the trans, man? You know, can a man, you know, man wearing a skirt? All I said was, Janet, does he pay taxes? That's all I care about. If he's paying taxes, because the gays bring in $5 billion into our economy.
Amen.
Okay, all right, they're bringing in money. You may not agree with their lifestyle. What is their lifestyle? You say, oh, man, they want to join the military. If you got a gay dude that can bust a cap in your ass at 1,000 yards, I want him in the foxhole with me. That means he can shoot. Okay?
He can shoot.
Okay? But they don't care about that, Mike. They don't care about facts. I don't care if you know they say, got your hand in the cookie jar. If you see their hands in the cookie jar, Mike, they're going to say, well, you know, maybe it might be his hand. It looked like his hand. Ain't that your hand? No, I mean, it's connected to your body. Yeah, but, you know, that could be another hand from the hand down the nose. It does not matter.
But here's the thing that bothers me. But here's the thing that bothers me. I keep hearing after all these years, we need to take America back. From who? Who are you taking it back from? There are Americans who agree. There's some Americans who disagree with politics. So what are you taking it back from? When Donald Trump said we need to be, you know, back in the 1950s. Hey, wait a minute, dude. There was a lot of bullshit going on in America back in the 1950s and stuff. So who are you taking America back from? We had individuals who came and attacked America from foreign soil, okay?
People of color.
But who are you taking America back? Well, you said people of color. You always ran America. So now you're saying people of color are getting too many rights? They're asking for too much shit? I mean, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, if they could take it back to the slavery days, they would.
Okay.
You know, that was supposed to be our happy time. Chicken cotton.
And it's sad that there are some people who say that black folks were happier back in slavery. When I've heard that, and I look at folks who post that and say that, I'm like, come on, you are really delusional to think that those folks who were slaves were happy. No, they were just playing a role to not get killed. That's what they were doing. Trying to survive. So with that being said, I just want to say this, is that we're waiting on our guest to chime in. I'm on text him right now. He's probably going to pop in at the top of the hour.
I was going to say, what they're paying attention to, and I don't know if you guys get YouTube, anywhere that they're interviewing Thomas Sowell, you've got black women and black males, young black women and males, they're following Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is a famous black economist. and he gives a whole rundown on slavery and everything. He's a scholar. He's not Henry Louis Gates. And so he takes and basically says that, yeah, there was slavery, but there were white slaves. There was this slave and all this stuff. And the people, so these guys are flipping the script, trying to make it sound like it didn't have any meaning.
It was
basically
equal.
Watering down what happened in the United States, you know, and then so when you hear this, you also hear these guys, you know, this is why they, when they say make America great again, that's the Pandora box. If you open that box, they will get in trouble again, because they're going to ask the question, when was it great? And great for who? You can't say that it was great for black people. Some black people, you know, we started Black Wall Street. Yeah. Bruce's Beach. You know, you had certain things, but guess what? Before the 1950s, they had lynched from 1877 to 1950. They had lynched 5,000 black people. That was regular, everyday white folks that was doing this. Why do they think we had the Great Migration, that people left the South? Because they were lynching people and lynching black people in front of their own businesses.
That's right.
You told us, go and do what you're supposed to do, and we would do it. Then you come in, white folks, come in and burn it down.
But see, here's the thing, what I find interesting, too. But here's what I find interesting based on what you just said, you know, because, you know, America has to at some point admit its crimes, and they don't want to. That's my thought. That you have to say, hey, look, this is the United States of America. This is supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, everything that you preach to everybody. I was watching last weekend. I just want to throw this in. Now, let's remember when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, right? Some teams back then, you know, in the protest of what America claims it stands for. But I was watching a race. What was it? The Indianapolis 500, one of those type of races, and the announcer said clearly, "Please stand and remove your caps for the singing of the national anthem." And I saw many people who did not stand, many people who did not remove their caps. Think about that now. Are they disrespecting America? How come they didn't get criticized? How come they didn't run cops and say, hey, look, take off your cap, damn it? You understand my point? I'm like, wait a minute now. If you're going to honor America, you're supposed to do that, right? But then you look at people who, at the request of the announcer, said, stand and remove your caps. I saw many people who didn't do it. Well, I mean, really?
They seem to think taking a knee is unpatriotic, you know?
No, but it's
supposed
to be
punished.
Okay. But you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to sing the national anthem, you're supposed to stand, have no cap on your head, because the announcer makes that announcement. And it doesn't matter if you're kneeling, if you have a cap on, according to them, the national anthem. Am I right or wrong? I'm seeing folks talking during the singing of the national anthem. I'm seeing them talking to somebody else. They got their cap on. How come, you know,
that's not considered disrespecting the national anthem? I know it sounds, you know, petty, but if you're kneeling, it's no different than you keeping your cap on the knee.
It was for the reason why he kneeled. And the people that didn't take the cap off, were they black or white, Michael? They were probably white.
That was also white.
The majority of them are white because it's a race. You don't have that many black folks going to races. But go ahead.
But, Mike, Trump perpetuated that. Trump mm-hmm. got a hold of it, and at that time, you heard him say, if it was me, I'd throw his son of a bitch right out of there. And he stirred the pot, and those owners who he's friends with, who voted for him, shut him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did it. As a matter of fact, Mahmoud, who plays for Muhammad, whose last name was Jackson, when he played for Denver, they did it to him because he refused to stand for the national anthem, and they kicked. He got kicked out of the league. And wait a minute, mm-hmm. and you thought Steph Curry could shoot? Homeboy was a beast. He left. He didn't leave because he was a horrible athlete. He left for what he believed. And you got folks, man. It's just you're not going to get it over. Let me tell you something. I don't care if they're black. I don't care if they're white. You got a lot of people that believe that what has went down. They're all for it. I got friends that will not talk about have the conversation that we're having right now. They won't even talk about it. They won't talk about
it. Oh, I know. I have, trust me, I have people that say.
I'm talking about black folks.
Black folks and white folks. I have many of them who will not discuss this conversation, whether it be on this platform or anywhere else, because they want to be aware. Well, I don't really want to share my thoughts and everything. I'll talk to you about it, but I don't want to share
with
other
folks.
They want
to walk around with blinders on. No, they love mm-hmm. blocking out, dealing with what's going on. I just want to live. Everybody just wants this. Like I said, I don't mind you getting rich. I got a problem with you being greedy. Because greed, mm-hmm. the one thing about capitalism, it breeds negativity, it breeds jealousy, envy, and it breeds greed. And that's how people get screwed, and that's why we have homelessness. And they talking about programs and all this. No, okay? There's enough for everybody. But because mm-hmm. of racial disparities, because of discrimination, because someone is different, they want your ass to suffer. And if they are part of any type of clique or group thing, they will do it. And they're blaming mm-hmm. on wokeness. Like they took our word woke. That was a black term. How are you going to take that word and turn it over to mean something that, because it used to mean racial discrimination. Black mm-hmm. folks used it as far back as the 1940s. That was not for mm-hmm. you know, talking about I'm trying to cancel you. That's what they've done with it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that where, you know, it's a situation right now that I find interesting, especially the sharing of all the video to an individual who is not, which I said before, who is not a journalist, did not go to school as a journalist. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like giving me the job of something I have no business. It's just like you hire me as being, you know, the president of the United States. Or as a congressperson with no experience. It's like, oh, let's put him in there. He knows how to talk. And when you look at the fact that you're giving this individual, meaning Tucker Carlson, who has never went to school to be a journalist, and giving him all these thousands of hours of stuff to share on Fox, which not just Democrats, but even Republicans are not happy with, because he can take that information and show, which they've already said, a lot of things, clips of showing, you know, the layout, right, of the Capitol. Or maybe a possible attack, another attack.
Where the tunnels are, yeah.
And the thing is that, where, you know, I've worked on government buildings in Georgia and in Alabama. You know, they're going to look at the fact of where, okay, wait a minute. Had I been a felon, I would never be allowed in that building. And Tucker Carlson's not. But just the fact that you have to really think about who you give information to. You have to be very cautious of who you give information to. And what was done is totally wrong. For a TV
show.
Tucker Carlson
bombed out, though, Michael. He did he brought that video out, and it was a dud, you know. He really didn't show much. He tried to portray it like everybody was peaceful.
I saw it. Said everything was peaceful and this and the other. But then again, when you look at what even McCarthy said, you look at his right after the event saying that it was horrible, it should have never happened. Well, why did you give the information to somebody who took it and made it totally different than what you said? That's where the problem lies, in my opinion.
Because he was blackmailed.
When you know, there should have been a conversation of where, hey, look, you know, I'm going to give you these videos, these 4,000 plus hours, and, you know, why did you do it when you spoke against everything that happened? We got to move forward because I see our guest is on the board, and the thing is, we can come back to that. But we have to question that stuff, and we have to really discuss it. What's going on with our politicians, as Timon just said? It might be a whole setup of the next election in 2024, a whole setup. In fact, it's not a might be, it is. Because you're looking at two parties that are battling each other to control the American public and to control the United States of America. Last but not least, I have to say this before our guest joins us. I saw something that blew me away. There's a new ice cream coming out, you guys. And this will go great for lunch. What kind of wings you like, Janet? Hot wings? Ranch wings? You know, you get hot wings?
Just wings.
Just wings, just plain wings? Timon, mm-hmm. You like the hot wings, the ranch, the plain, the whatever flavor? What's your favorite? Wild, hot, medium, whatever. Okay.
All of it.
Well, coming soon to your local Walmart, you'll be able to get ranch wings, a salad with ranch dressing, and to top it off, you'll be able to get yourself some ranch ice cream. Yes, they came out with ranch ice cream. Thanks to Hidden Valley Ranch Company, this month, Walmart will be ranch ice cream. It's not something I'm looking forward to tasting. And by the way, I don't think I will, but would you try it?
Heck no.
Seriously, look it up. There was already a macaroni and cheese ice cream. There's been so many. There's been all kinds of. I mean, I can't see myself having a dessert that tastes like my dinner, especially cold. What's going on, y'all? Come on now. We're going too far with experimental stuff. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Our special guest is here in the house. He's on the board. I'm going to open up his mic after we listen to one of these great classics. From Solar Records, here's Dynasty. I've just begun, or here I am. Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host Janet Davis, the one and only Mr. Time and Chip is in the house, and our special guest is here. Oh, he's ready, baby. He's here, and he's, you know, I have to tell you guys something. You know, when you listen to music like from groups like Dynasty, wow, Shalimar, The Whispers, I should say The Mighty Whispers. For many years, this brother has been affiliated with a group of individuals known as the Throwdown Brothers. Motown had the Funk Brothers. The Solar brought you the Throwdown Brothers. And these cats, oh wow, did a lot in music. And you hear this music almost every day, or at least every week. I know I do. So without further ado, I'm going to open up the mic and welcome to the show our special guest, Mr. Wardell Potts.
Y'all put your hands together. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Audie. Thank you, Audie.
Thank you, thank you. Wardell, how you doing, my brother? God bless, and welcome to the show.
God bless you, too, and what a nice crowd you got tonight. That is true. How is everyone?
Yes, how's everybody? Janet?
Oh, great. I thought maybe you were going to do something. Yeah. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, you know, when I hear that music, man, I just want to go on the road so bad with Dynasty. I've been trying so hard to rekindle Dynasty and get us back out there again. And unfortunately, it's just been, you know, so difficult because of life doing what it does. And, you know, we lost a couple of members last year, passed away. And so, you know, it's just been very, very difficult, but God has been faithful. And despite the fact that we were not able to go back on the road, we put out a single in 2020 and a single in 2022, and they both went to number two in the UK. We didn't release it here in the United States, but we did release it overseas because they still are so crazy about Solar overseas. Is just amazing, and all the stuff that we've done. So, you know, we appreciate the love that they show, and so that's where we focused and gave them what they wanted.
Wow.
Exactly. And you know, I know the Solar family. I've been blessed to know them ever since, you know, almost the beginning. because one of my family members worked with the label, and I used to come hang out at the office and got to know a lot of folks. But if you don't mind, share with folks how, you know, well, first I want to look at you being the percussionist, the drummer. Share with our listeners, how did you manage to be a member of what is lovingly known as the Throwdown Brothers, and share a little bit about the individuals and how that all came about within the Solar family?
Okay, so, you know, I'm from Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, and my mm-hmm. first professional audition in R&B music was in the city of Angels in Los Angeles. I was in college in Norfolk State prior to that. I went to Norfolk State for my major in music. And then one day I came home and I was home for like some kind of holiday thing. I forgot what it was. But, and I got a phone call from Tony Westcott, who was with the Silvers. He was the drummer for the Silvers. He lived behind my dad's gas station in Philadelphia. And that's how I got to know him. I heard you would hear him practicing. I was like, oh, he's a drummer. And I would go around the corner. So I was a jazz drummer. He was an R&B drummer. So I would teach him. I was teaching him jazz, and he was teaching me R&B. And I really didn't know I wasn't getting it. I just knew he just told me what to do, and I would try the R&B thing. You know, that's just 2/4, doom, pop, doom, pop. You know, jazz is very progressive and all that crazy stuff, right? So, but anyway, I ended up. I told Tony. I said, listen, next time. You know, you hear somebody need a drummer, I want to try the R&B thing. And so I can't believe it. So I get this phone call from him one night, and it's like, hey, you still want to do that? You still want to audition for a R&B band? I said, yeah, why? What's up? And I'm thinking he's going to tell me something in Philadelphia. And he goes, Leon Silvers out in California, you know, he just got kicked out of the group with the Silvers. He's starting a new band called Dynasty. And he wants to know. And he wanted me to go play, but, you know, I can't. I need to be with my kids. I'm always on the road, and I want to be home. So, I'm doing what you asked me to do. You want to go? I said, sure. So I was so excited. So I went out there a couple of weeks later, and I auditioned. Didn't know I made the audition. D. Leon is just so, like, you know, he didn't say one way or another, and I didn't ask him. And a couple of weeks later, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I just, you know, because I was staying with Kevin Spencer at the time and Moms and Pops. And so then anyway, Mom said, you should call him and ask him. I said, well, that sounds like a good idea. So I did call him, and he said, of course you made the audition. Why would you ask me? I said, well, I mean, you didn't say one way or another. I said, okay, cool. So I tell you what, when you're ready to, you know, start rehearsing with Dynasty, just let me know. And I want to go back to Philadelphia, you know, because I wanted to go back and work with my dad. I was making money working for my dad, but just sitting there, I was making nothing. And I wasn't used to being broke, you know. And so, plus I was in college, and I just dropped out of college. So I ended up, he's like, no, can we go in the studio? I got some stuff to do. With the Whispers and Shalimar, such. I knew who the Whispers were because, you know, they've been around forever. I was a kid in Minnesota.
Correct.
Around. And so, but I didn't know Shalimar that much because they only came out the year before, because that was in 79 when I went out to audition. And so, I said, okay, so next thing you know, one Sunday morning, he called and said, hey, we're going to the studio. I need you guys to meet me at the studio, we went to the studio, and we started
that day. That Sunday morning, he told you had to be at the studio.
Yes, that Sunday morning, called us. He got this, and the studio belonged to. I'm sorry, I can't think of his name. You know, great producer from Motown. But anyway, so we went there, and we started recording And the Beat Goes On. But And the Beat Goes On wasn't for the Whispers. It was for Myers, Phil Parts, and Woods, Dana Myers' group. And so we were recording it for them. And so we did that. We worked all day. It took a long time, but we got it done. And then we did another song, Out the Box, another song for the same group. And so then Dick Griffey heard it, and Dick Griffey is like, whoa, whoa, Lee, I, you know, he had just signed Leon to a production deal, so he had leverage, right? And so he said, I really want that for the Whispers, you know, and so, and then Leon was like, you know, I mean, he pretty much had no choice. It was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it was the wrong thing for the other group because it was really a good song, obviously. And so Leon agreed, okay. And so next thing I know, the Whispers in the studio singing a song, and then the next week we went in the studio and did second time around. And so after that, Dick was like, whoever
for Shalimar, right?
That,
for Shalimar.
Yeah, for Shalimar. Right, yeah, we did second
a
time
week
around
later, wow.
Yeah, and so Dick said to Leon, whoever's playing drums on that, I want him to play on all this stuff. And so Leon told me that, and I was like, really? I was like, okay, I don't mind. At least that's why I'm here anyway, right, I guess. So I got the gig to be the drummer for all this stuff. And so I wasn't even trying to audition for that. I was trying to just, you know, work with Dynasty. And so it really turned out to be a blessing. But what happened is what created the Throwdown Brothers is that the same guys was recording all these records back to back to back to back songs for Solar, which were all hits. They kept coming out as hits. So it was Steve Shockley mm-hmm. from Lakeside playing guitar and basically Dynasty. You know, Leon Silvers, myself, and Dana Myers, he was doing, like, a lot of the melodies and lyrics and stuff. So it just, so mm-hmm. it was the same, it was the same team of guys that was doing it. So one day Steve came into the studio. He was like, you guys are throwing down. You guys are the Throwdown Brothers. And so that's how we got the name, from Steve Shockley of Lakeside. And so, this is the thing, though, the most important thing I want people to remember that Leon studied Motown. He studied every time we became roommates. So I was with him all the time. And all he's doing, listen to Motown. And I was asking him, he's just, yeah, you know, did those melodies, those the progressions, and these are love songs. And I mean, this is just it, right? And so he was studying James Jamerson, right, the baddest bass player. For R&B music that ever lived, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so he studied them. So the Funk Brothers really, they were like, they're like our big brother. They're just the generation before us. They showed us how it was done, and we're just chasing them. We're trying to keep, you know, do the right thing. We were trying to do the right thing, trying to create a legacy similar to theirs that gives you good quality music, fun music, and long-lasting music. And so that's the truth of the matter. And so that's pretty much how that all came together.
Wow. That's amazing. But you just hear, that's amazing because, again, it's not a week that goes by I don't hear you and as you said, Leon and Kevin Spencer and the rest of the cats. There was like eight of you guys. Of course, as you mentioned, a brother who from Lakeside, Shockley.
Right.
When it came to going to the studio and everything, and I like your story about how you got the job, but you didn't know you had the job. That's funny. Like, oh, I got the job. Well, I don't know, but then, yeah, of course you got the job.
Be nice
well,
if you, you tell me.
You know. but you call me on the Sunday and say, you got to be at the studio tonight, okay? How many hours would it take at Drummond So? How many hours would it take for you guys? I mean, would you work on, you know, just like one song for hours and everything? And how much input did, from time to time, I'm just, you know, speculating, that during that time when you guys were jamming and everything and run down the track and be like, nah, we need to go back and do this again. How many songs or how many times you guys might have had to say, hey, look, we need to do that again? Or was it so great of a chemistry between you all that it just was so smooth?
Good question. And it goes like this, man. It really does. It's just like anything. It was a new relationship. So in the beginning, we were working everything out. And so in the beginning, it took longer. right? Because we had to really find out what the heck Leon was talking about when he was saying, lock that pocket. I had no idea. I was just like, all I know is that. So I used to steady the metronome at night. And he had his metronome, and I was always laying there but in the studio, and the light would go off and on. So I used to study that metronome, the light, just, and that was to help me with timing. Because in my mind, I thought, the timing was pocket. Now I know it's not close. I can explain it later. But anyway, so I used to study that, and so then I just knew that we needed to get this the track right, get my part right. Leon says, we got to get those drums right. Then we could go in and overdub everything else. But the drums is the foundation of the music. So I felt the pressure. I felt this uncomfortable pressure that nobody else felt, that I got to get my part right first. Right? And we're all in there playing. Yeah, and I'm counting it off. One, two, three. You know, we go into whatever song it is. And then, you know, and I just got to make sure all the way through that, you know, because it's got to be as close to perfect as you can get it. Nothing's ever perfect, but you got to be as close to perfect as you can get it, right? And then, because live, you can do anything. Live, you can just kind of do whatever. It doesn't matter. But in recording, if you mess up, hey, stop, let's start all over. Live, you can't do that, right? And it happens a lot. We mess up just as much live as we do recording, but you can't stop it live. So we would just,
right.
So initially, when we first got going, it took, you know, quite a few hours just to understand what Leon wanted. But as we got going, they got to understand that we were recording almost every single day. At least every other day, we were in the studio. It's called Studio Masters on Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills. And every day, or at least every other day, we were recording. Now, I was there every day, and because Leon and I were roommates, so I was with him all the time, and even if I wasn't recording drums, I'm helping him record his part on the bass, you know, by punching him out. And with, you know, so you know, it was different. It was different. It was very special. But then as time went on, we would just go in there. We could go in there 3 hours and have a track done. Next, another track done. You know, we could get it done. And then as long as Leon got the drum tracks, he would come back and do all the overdubs later with everybody else. Now, we all were learning at the time because we were all just like in this situation, in Dick Griffey's dream. Because this is a Dick Griffey's dream that we all were blessed to be a part of. And so we were in this thing trying to do our part. Leon was the chef in the kitchen, and we were just the ingredients, and we were doing whatever he told us to do. And he guided that machine. And, I mean, I bless his heart, man, because he really did an amazing job with all us guys, making sure we did as much as we could. We did all the Shalimar's albums, the whole album. Like Shalimar was almost like Dynasty with different singers. Because we wrote and played on all the songs, and Leon produced them, and then we started producing. And then with the Whispers, we would do half of their albums, and then the Whispers would do other half. You know, we did most of the up-tempo stuff. The Whispers, they did the ballads, you know, like Lady and all that stuff. They were like, that was their thing even before, because we gave them, you know, their like real first big up-tempo hit, which was And the Beat Goes On. Because before that, you know, they had a bunch of mid-tempos and ballads. That was their thing. So they needed something. That's how they had their whole career was relaunched when Leon got a hold to them. So that was a blessing. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm enjoying what you're sharing because there's a lot of stuff I didn't know, of course. But when you did, okay, so how did you feel? And I definitely want the folks who are listening, and by the way, for all you guys who are listening who are on the board, if you have any questions or comments, you already know the drill. Hit the number one. I'll open up your mic if you have any questions or comments. For you folks in the chat room, same thing. Type in your questions or comments, and I will present them to Wardell. How did you feel the first time you heard yourself playing on a hit record on the radio? You just driving down the street or you at home. How did that hit you?
So I don't want to make up anything. I can't remember exactly, but I know I was excited because I've never heard myself on the radio. Right? I was like, wow. And so I know I was really excited. But this is the thing. The excitement never changed every single time. And it became a really when it starts raining, it pours, and it was just constant because we were on the radio all the time. You could switch
right.
from one station to another station to another station, and there is either Dynasty Shalemeyer, you know, or Kerry Lucas or anybody else that we worked on, you know, the Lakeside Climax, the girl group, Climax. I mean, it was just, we were always on the radio. I was like, oh, my God. It became overwhelming, but it was still always exciting. And this is the trip of the whole thing. When it's that good for that long, you think it's not going to end. That's the problem. Because it always is, right? No matter how good somebody is, it always is. But that's how a lot of people get in trouble financially, too, that are very successful, because they think it's never going to end. This money is going to always come. Even the NBA players and football players, I mean, they think they're going to get this money for – it doesn't happen. It's like a whole lot of money.
Right.
And it don't matter how much you make. It matters how much you keep. And so if you make $1 million and you spend $1 million and you don't have nothing again. So
right.
it's like, I mean, you have whatever you bought, but, you know, I mean, but I'm just saying, you guys, it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you keep. And so, and I didn't know that. A lot of us didn't know that. We were just doing our thing and having a wonderful time, and it was just a beautiful blessing to be there. But most runs usually run anywhere from 5 to 7 years with a producer's situation. Their sound is asked anywhere from 5 to 7 years, and then somebody else coming up, and another sound is coming up, and another thing is happening, you know. And so we did ours, and we had a great time at it. We had a wonderful time.
Man, you guys are still, I mean, as I said, and I'll say again, I mean, when I'm at work, when I'm at, you know, I'm listening to, you know, even when I look at stuff, even when I hear the music, though it's not actually you, but somebody took that music from that era and they re-recorded for a commercial or this, that, and the other. But it came from, you know, the fact that that music was so good. That music was so, and still to this day, that music is so, you know, so much of a history, I guess, you know, with Solar and just R&B music in general. I see that where I want my co-host Janet. I'm pretty sure she may have a question or comment. Janet, you have a question or comment for her?
Yes, one thing. I think you already answered the question, but Mr. Pocket, how did that come about? Is that the rhythm? Or
Mr. Pocket.
How'd you hear that? Where did you hear that from?
I do research.
Oh,
she does her research.
Okay,
that's very true.
Go, girl. I love it. So, that's after, you know, Leon had trained me Pocket was, and after he trained me to what that was, then I got nicknamed that by everybody else that was listening. Mr. Pocket. So Leon is the one that made me Mr. Pocket, and then these other people, you know, I mean, what I mean by that is that if I couldn't do what he was asking me to do, I wouldn't have been Mr. Pocket. But I was blessed enough to be able to discover exactly what it was that he was talking about and create that pocket. And that pocket is really between the musicians. It is a place, a zone, that when you're playing, the groove is so good that everybody feels it. Yeah, that sync, girl. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, listen to that. That's a pocket. And then they say, lock that pocket. So they call me the Pocket Man because of, you know, like, he's Mr. Pocket. That's just the group. You know, where do I lock the pocket? And then I start off the song, and then here we go. So I can't believe you said that, but it's an honor to, you know, somebody to call me that. You know, I really appreciate it. But but Leon was the one that was the one that taught me how to do that and trained me to be in that. So I have to always give Leon his props because he's not getting. No, Jesse, not what he really deserves. He just was an amazing producer and songwriter, and I'm so grateful for him every day.
But you know what's so great? Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, what's so great is that, you know, and for the listeners, just to let you all know that if you don't know the history, we're talking about Leon Silvers III. Okay, who is, I believe, the oldest brother of the legendary group known as the Silvers, okay?
Right.
And, I mean, if you remember the Silvers, you know, Hotline, Boogie Fever, Misdemeanor, you know, you know, this was a family, I think, nine, okay? You had Foster Silvers, you had Ricky Silvers, Olympia Silvers, you had, you know, this great family. When you think about family groups, most of us think about, like, you know, the Jackson 5, but there was the Jackson 5, there was, what was the other one? The Jackson 5, the Silvers, and also the Osmonds really were pretty much in that same era, okay? Leon went on to become a great writer, producer, as Wardell is sharing, is that where somehow him and Mr. Dick Griffey, the CEO, the founder of not just Solar Records, it was Soul Train Records, along with him and Mr. Don Cornelius. And Don started his production company with Soul Train. Mr. Dick Griffey started Solar Records, and the rest is history. This is really great and amazing, you know, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing these great stories and how this all came about again. Just some of the great music.
Yes.
Mr. Pocket. Well, let's listen to Mr. Pocket in action right now with one of the greatest hits by the Whispers. And the beat goes on. We'll be right back. You listen to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show.
Just like my love.
up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
All right. Thank you, St. James. Our special guest today is the one and only Mr. Wardell Potts, a.k.a. Mr. Pocket. Wardell Potts Jr. is our guest today. Mr. Pocket is here sharing his journey with Solar Records and all the great music that they have given us over the years. And, you know, I said something where I saw a photo that showed all eight of you, and, you know, much blessings to the individuals who are gone now. Can you share the names of all the members, past and present, and what I saw where it said, how did it read? It said great chemistry. But I looked at it as great ingredients, because all of you brought a certain ingredient to the table in order for you guys to become the Throwdown Brothers. And this music will last forever. There's just no way, you know,
right,
it will.
Right. Thank you.
Can you give us the names of all the members?
Of the Throwdown Brothers?
Yes.
The guys in the – okay. So Steve Shockley, Leon Silvers, Ricky Freeze Smith, he's with the Time now, Kevin Spencer, Pepper Ernest Reed, Richard Randolph, Wardell Potts Jr., and William Shelby.
Wow.
Dana Myers.
Okay. What a great group of individuals to, as I said, and I can't stop saying it, you guys definitely deserve the title as the Throwdown Brothers, because you definitely threw down on every single hit song that will forever be, played and remembered, for decades and decades to come. I want you to share with us what you do, though, at this point in time in your life. I mean, because you have Solar Record Radio, which people can go to and listen to, not just Solar music, but you guys have a great platform at Solar Records Radio. Can you share that with us?
Yes. SolarRecordsRadio.com is our website, and you know, feel free to go there if you want to check it out and stuff. We do the same thing Michael do. We have guests come on and we interview them and we talk. It's a Christian-based station. I talk about God quite a bit. I'm a chaplain as well, so that's part of the reason why I talk about God quite a bit. And pretty much, you know, we have co-hosts, and we have T. Meyer McCain from Lakeside, one of the lead singers in Lakeside. He's been a pastor for the longest time. As a matter of fact, can I tell you a little short story?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Just real short. So we were on the road, right, Lakeside, Dynasty, Shalimar, and the Whispers. We were on the tour, the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. So we're going, you know, driving along, and then our bus, Shalimar and Dynasty is sharing the bus, and Lakeside and the Whispers are sharing the bus, because, you know, Big Riffy is kind of tight. They give everybody their own buses.
Right.
And we have four limos that follow us everywhere. So it's the four limos and the buses, right? And so here we are. We're on the road. We're doing a thing. And then all of a sudden, our bus breaks down. And so when our bus broke down, they need to go in the shop. And it's crazy details. But anyways, it broke down. So we still had those gigs. It was a tour. So we had places we had to go. So we went and rode with Lakeside and Whispers. So we're riding with them. Hold on, wait a minute. No, Lakeside had their own bus, and the Whispers had their own bus, and Dynasty and Shalimar shared a bus. That's how it went. And so the guys from Shalimar went and rode with the Whispers, and the guys from Dynasty rode with Lakeside. And so we're in there. I get in the bus, and I sit next to T. Meyer, and Otis Stokes is sitting behind T. Meyer. And, you know, we're really close, you know. And so I'm just going, man, oh, man, this is great. I'm thinking, I'm only 21 years old. I'm thinking they're going to teach me what it's like to be on the road with all these girls and how to handle your stuff and, you know, how to be, you know. I never did that before. This is my first time, right? I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? All of a sudden, T. Meyer started preaching. I go, hello? What are we talking about here? He's talking about, you know, how God, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and all. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I thought, okay, maybe that's just it. Well, okay, it's the first time, the first night. He won't do that the next time. Shoo, the next day he got on the bus. That's it. He go again. I go, Lord, have mercy. So I was like, my mom's prayers, man, went all the way out here. And so anyway, so that's who he was for all that time. And so he became a pastor. Mm-hmm. He left Lakeside and became a pastor. You know, I think he left Lakeside like in the 90s, early 90s, and he became a pastor.
Right around there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so now, you know, so now he hosts a couple of shows on my station, one on Mondays when he's preaching, and on Wednesdays when he's doing a Christian talk. So that's just great, you know. So it's just a kind of a fun, friendly kind of thing that we do. I just want to keep the legacy alive, you know, and just kind of talk about, you know, play good music. I play blues and jazz and all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of that song I was going to tell you, but I play some Police stuff. Remember the Police? My friends
Oh, yeah.
Go crazy when I put
Sting
and
all those cats. Yeah.
I grew up on
a lot of rock and roll because one of my older brothers, that's all he listened to was rock and roll, right? So I had no choice. I couldn't change the station. He was bigger than me, so I learned a lot of rock growing up, and learned to appreciate a lot of these great artists. You know, like you said, you know, the Police. Hell, I go back to who was it? Deep Purple, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. You know, I go back to all those cats. You know,
yeah.
I'm 61.
Yeah,
okay, good. So I know a lot of old rock stars and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's just a blessing. Music is really a blessing, you know, and just appreciate. I mean, I listen to classical. I listen to, again, I said rock. I even listen to country and western. If it's good, it's good. You know,
I heard you guys saying something. Can I ask you all a question? I heard you guys talking politics earlier. Can I ask you guys a question?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, to me, you know, like there's people out there that put records out and they're selling records and they're saying things in these records. Some of them are saying amazing things, and some of them are saying crazy things. And children are buying these records, and they're buying these records,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of these kids are not mentally ready for some of the stuff that they're learning and saying and stuff. And a lot of these writers and musicians, they said that that's not on me. I just do what I do. I don't take responsibility for, you know, kids listening to my stuff. The parents shouldn't let them listen to it. I mean, do we have to take responsibility for something that we're doing? Or, I mean, we're getting paid for it. We're making money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to say that you're not responsible, or is it okay to say that you're not responsible for what kids do when they hear your stuff?
You know what? That's a good question because, see, and I look at where, you know, every day I see where parents are playing explicit rap with their five-year-old. Five-year-olds are very impressionable, you know. And so here, I understand you're an adult. You can do whatever you want to do, okay? You have freedom of speech and everything. But have some sort of decorum, have some sort of respect
of where you wouldn't want me to stand there and cuss in front of your child. See?
Right.
So why would you cuss in front of mine? You know, back when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have, in fact, I'll say this. We didn't have the type of lyrics and songs that you have now, but I do remember you had your comedy hours. You had the Richard Pryors, you had the Red Foxes,
right,
and everything. And you knew not to touch those albums. You might sneak and listen,
exactly,
to them when mom and dad weren't home, right?
Right.
You know, but you couldn't just
openly
play them, okay?
Right.
And now parents just don't care. It's like, well, you know, they're just words. And like, no, but those words have meanings, and those words are not for children.
Words are
powerful. Let them become an adult and know what that word means, because there's kids out there now that are using cuss words and really don't know the effect of those words, what they really mean. And last but not least, I have to say that what really bothers me is that where parents feel like they have no control of what their children listen to. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My
everybody's
son,
in denial.
Right. In denial. My son, he begged me for a certain cassette tape years ago, and he had younger brothers and sisters. And I told him, I said, well, look, you cannot play that tape inside the house stereo. You listen to it on your little Walkman. Remember the Walkman? I said, you listen to it on that.
Yeah.
Okay. But one day I found it in the house stereo. And I was like, nope, no more. I took it and I threw it away. I said, you are not following directions. Your siblings are not old enough to hear this and understand it. I gave him the benefit of the doubt, right?
Mm.
But he couldn't follow my instruction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I bought it so I can destroy it. And I said, you will never do that again. But he learned from that. And I think that a lot of parents are not looking at the fact that you can't let your child just do and listen to whatever they want to, whenever they want to. You have to be, and you can't just openly play it in front of, you know, impressionable kids. You don't want no kid that's 5-year-old sitting here saying words they don't need to know what the hell they mean. You know?
Yeah.
You can't. Janet, what's your thoughts about that question?
Well, I feel the same way. It's the parents' responsibility. You know, I think a lot of artists could do a clean version, you know, because you never, you know, but it's really the parents' responsibility. Even with video games, you know, it's a lot of cursing and stuff in that. And, you know, parents, like you said, they think it's just words, but it until it comes back to haunt them, you know, and that child says something
mm-hmm.
in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know.
To the parent. To the parent. Because the kids feel
mm-hmm.
like, well, if you say it, I can say it to you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
That's
so when artists say, I'm not a role model, I'm not trying to be a role model. So, but you're making a lot of money off of this.
Yeah.
You got to take some responsibility. And like Michael says, do a clean version. Or one of you guys said, do a clean version. The kids could enjoy your art, your artistry without getting hurt in the process. You know, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was just a question that came up today on my show. So
that was a
good
one.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, well, we need to discuss that within our community. Because here's the thing. I don't know any country. You know what? When you look at what's happening, the beef between rappers now, here's individuals who've made millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and millions of dollars. And, you know, there was that East Coast, West Coast thing that happened, you know, years ago. But it's still going on neighborhood to neighborhood. It's still going on in schools where these are individuals who are not, I mean, listen to what I'm saying. These are young kids who are not on the radio. They just want to rap. They think that they can make a career out of it. And then so one makes a little thing and puts it on the internet. Another one has beef with them. puts it on the internet. I've seen a story where these two young kids had beef, and none of them are stars. So one kills the other because of what he said in his rap. What damn sense does that make at all? What sense does that make at all? And then the sad part is this, and Janet, you've heard me say this. I have never in my life, and again I say I'm 61 years old, heard a country and Western artist have beef with another one.
Yeah, I've never either. Times are just getting so crazy, man.
It's rock and rollers. Wild. You've never heard them write a song about another rock band and have beef against them. They might, you know, have beef on tour if they're pitted, you know, on the same schedule of where, well, I don't like the fact that this and that. That's all. But as far as writing songs where they're dissing each other and this and that, that only happens in rap. And at some point, we need to wake up and say that, hey, wait a minute. Why are we doing this to each other? Why are the record labels allowing us to do this to each other when the only thing that comes to it is death and violence?
Yeah, self-destruction. I mean, look, we lost Tupac and Biggie.
Exactly.
It's like, are you kidding? Those guys were amazing, and now they're gone in a box underground.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, how is that okay? You know, and then everybody just gets quiet. Everybody just gets quiet. They're just gone. But the moms are sitting there grieving probably every day. Like, oh, my God, my child. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
But I think that was a great question because it's something that we need to, as a community, and really not as community only, just in general.
As humans, as decent human beings.
But as human beings and us as a black community, yes, it happens to us. But we have to look at the fact that, well, there are powers that be that love this to happen, within our communities because it's prosperous. Prosperous.
Yeah.
It's making money, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
It makes money. So that's what bothers me. And that's where we need to address it and correct it. I know we only have 2 minutes, but what I want to do, I'm going to extend it just enough because I want to play at least one more song. We're not going to use the full time I added, but I definitely want to play another song because so many hits that you guys throw down, brothers have brought to us. I just want to remind folks of these and let them know that. Remember when you hear this, these are the Throwdown Brothers. Again, if it wasn't for the people behind the scenes, the person you see with the mic, it wouldn't be the hit that it is, right?
It really would.
It's a building process. It's a family. It's all about that. And Solar Records, you know, had that, kept that going. And at this point in time, Solar is actually a label that exists overseas. You mentioned the UK. And if you don't mind, just share a little bit more about, before I play this track, what is it about, you know, the music of Solar and many other that is so much loved and kept going overseas, more so here in America, because I've seen videos of Shalimar, they go over to the UK and they sell out, right? They just sell out. Billy Ocean, I saw where he was at a performance where there was hundreds of thousands of people, this big old field, and he started singing a song, and the crowd started singing it, and he said, okay, y'all got the mic. He never had to sing another lyric. They sung the whole song.
Yeah.
What is it that you experienced? Because I'm sure you've gone overseas and you've seen the difference between the UK and the USA. What is it about that?
Well, every place we played, Dynasty played in overseas in the UK and Amsterdam and different places like that, they all sold out, first of all. And it was absolutely, the crowd was so excited to have us there. They appreciate you, whether you're current or you're old school. They just appreciate what you did, not necessarily what you're doing today, but what you did yesterday. And they like they show love. They like you blessed my life. You blessed me, and it's just amazing. I mean, I have people overseas now that work for me, not getting paid. They just say I owe you for what you guys did for us. I'm going, are you kidding me? They said, look, anything you want, I do it. They do a video, they do all my flyers, they do all kinds of stuff. It's just like, thank you so much. So they just have an appreciation for where, you know, what we've done before and not necessarily what we're doing today. And that is good. That is nice. It's nice to be loved for what you did, because you can't keep doing the same thing all the time. You know, that's what happens with rock and roll. They get a lot of love for what they did, not for what they're doing now. And they get those old rock bands that go out there and you fill up stadiums still because people appreciate what they did. But for some reason in the R&B, pop R&B community, it's not quite the same. Or dance. It's not. It's like what you're doing today, not what you did yesterday. And so, and they do have a lot of old school concerts that's going on. And they open up a lot of old school stations, which is making my royalty checks go up a little bit, you know, and so. It's all good. They slowly come back around over here in the United States. But there's no place like home.
Well, look, what I want to do is this, real quick, shorter versions, and then we're going to get out of here because we definitely appreciate you, Mr. Pocket, for joining us. But we got to share what the nickname came from. And if you don't mind, I want to play this one from Shalimar. Second time around, we'll be right back.
On your own.
Oh, okay. I have myself on mute. Welcome back to TMGS for our special guest, Mr. Wardell Potts Jr. We're going to wrap it up. I know, Wardell, you have things you probably have to do, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a few more tracks to end the show after we finish our conversation. I mean, because this is just a great, great, you know, what's what I'm looking for. Just so much work that you put into this and so much that you've been involved with. As a member of the Throwdown Brothers, with Solar and everything that you do with your radio station and everything, we definitely appreciate you joining us here today. And thank God for you and all the things that you've done over the years in the music industry and what you continue to do. Truly thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you,
Janet,
for having me.
Any family words you have, Janet? She might be on mute. Janet, you there?
I'm on mute. No, I really enjoyed the conversation and the stories, and thank you for visiting us again
yes.
and hearing your music.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Right. I appreciate you very much. Hey, I just want to say I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and hang out with you guys. Thank you for having me. Thanks to all the people that supported my career, you know, the Solar Galaxy of Stars tours and all the great stuff that you guys have done for us, buying our records and stuff. We appreciate it. And my favorite song that I did in that time for Solar was Keep On Loving Me by The Whispers. And I'm very grateful because, you know, every time I go to their concerts, and they start playing the song, the people get so excited, and it really blesses me. So I'm just so grateful the guy gave me that song, and it blessed the Whispers. Yeah.
I think I have that in my catalog here, but I got so many. So let me see for sure I have that one. That is authentic.
Yes.
But again, I'm gonna play about three or four cuts. We're gonna because I did add some more time on to the show in order for you listeners to hear this amazing work with our brother Wardell Potts Jr. That his contribution, if not for him as the drummer, the man in the pocket, you know, you wouldn't still be grooving to it. And last but not least. What I found interesting is that where I think I told the story before, I remember a band that used to rehearse down the street from me, and there was a guy named Frankie. I don't remember his last name. The three-piece band. And Frankie was one hell of a drummer. But he was like Diamond of the Ohio Players. Remember Diamond? You know? But Frankie was solo on every single cut. It didn't matter if it was a slow song or something. It'd be like, you know, the song would be like, hey girl, I love you. And you know I love you. Boom, 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 boom. And it'd be like, thank you. Get back a little bit. He was solo. Every chance he had a chance, every time he had a chance, you know. But the thing about you stayed in the pocket. You did some certain riffs, like what I love in the song Emergency. You just kept that beat going, just driving and just
drive,
towards the end of the song.
That train.
You know, you did that. Yeah, you did that little simple did it do, you know. And I'm like, okay, I like this. You know, the Frankie, it would have been Emergency. Pow. He would have went off.
It's a different kind of emergency. So I teach all my students, you know, that, you know, playing drums is a responsibility, it's an opportunity, and it's a gift. And you need to be respectful to the passengers that when you're driving the train, because that's what we're doing, you got to make sure that the passengers are comfortable. Therefore, you are just driving the train. You are not supposed to be up and running around and doing all kind of stuff. Lock that pocket. Hold the groove and let the other instruments, musicians, do their thing. But most importantly, when you do praise and worship, it's not about any of the music. It's about what we're saying. Mm-hmm. What those singers are saying is so important. You need to be, you know, underneath just a supporting
right.
cast, please. And if you don't know it, play soft. Play as soft as you can. Don't just keep playing loud and wrong. Loud
right.
and wrong. It's just, you know. So, but anyway, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You
are on point with my brother. Again, we thank you. We're going to go on with some of your great work. And, hey, you know, don't be a stranger. Come and visit us anytime. You know I'm going to always
likewise,
tune in.
Likewise.
Definitely.
All right.
Hey, you
I
guys.
I appreciate you guys. Thank
much
you.
Thanks to Mr. Thank
Bye
you.
To the
thank you
room.
To Mr. Wardell Potts Jr. for joining us today. And we're going to keep it going with this great music. Here's The Whispers with a classic. Co-written, actually, by, which we mentioned his name a few times, Mr. Kevin Stinson. Here's a great song from The Whispers, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say Wardell Potts Jr. keeps it in the pocket.
Thank you.
dealing out the after show. Oh, wow. We're dealing out the after show music. And, you know, we're going to deal them out just like some great deck of cards. Here are Aces back to back. aces back to back to aces wild.
Keep on. This is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gaze Show. Yeah.